are sad and songs of pain. As we've been looking at the Psalms, which are songs in our Sunday morning services, we've noticed that actually over a third and nearly 40% of the songs in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, are sad. They are laments. And one of the most tragic Psalms is Psalm 22, which we'll look at tonight. Psalm 22 has been called by some the fifth gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Psalm 22, because it is so often referred to or alluded to in the New Testament. And yet it is a sad song. In our own history, in the United States of America in the 60s, there was an 8-minute song that was sad. It talked of the day the music died. A decade or so ago, it was a sad song by a British writer lamenting a lost love, someone like you. These sad songs have a power to them, and they have, in some ways, an almost mysterious attraction to them. As we look at Psalm 22 tonight, I want us to notice three things. First, that David cried out to God when he felt the crush of evil. The second thing that we'll note is that Jesus cried out to God when he felt the crush of evil. And it is right for us to think that we too, following David and following our Savior, we can cry out to God when we feel the crush of evil. As David was going through his 40 years of kingship, he met with numerous successes, but he also faced and felt great betrayals. And he faced opposition, and inexplicably, this man after God's own heart was not even universally accepted and approved of by God's people. We don't know the exact moment or the exact circumstances in David's life when he wrote Psalm 22. But we do know that as he writes, he is telling us that his faith in God, as strong as it is reaching a point of testing. As David writes, we see him calling out to God in a cry of disorientation because it seems as though God has forsaken him. God is far away and God has resisted hearing him. And this is not an imagined or a made up pain. It is actually a pain that goes so deep into his soul that he says that his heart melts like wax. It's a pain that he feels physically, not simply emotionally. It's a pain that goes on, and he feels as if he is attacked by beasts, whether they be oxen or lions or dogs. And his enemies use that for which he is most known, his trust in God. They use it as a weapon to beat him. That which sustains him, they use now to pierce him. As the psalm goes on, David wonders why God does not come to his aid as he has come to the aid of so many others in similar harrowing straits. But David continues to call out, and he continues to call out. We get to the last third of the psalm where David declares, not by the experiences around him, but he declares by faith that God will, in fact, hear and deliver. And he promises that he, David, will praise God in front of others to tell them how God did deliver him. And he ends his prayer believing that God will do it. I want to read for you this psalm from a paraphrase. I admit to you that a paraphrase is not the same thing as a translation, but I want to use this paraphrase because it is faithful to the meaning of the original, and it will give us, I believe, an enhanced understanding of Psalm 22. God, my God, why did you dump me miles from nowhere? Doubled up with pain, I call to God all the day long. No answer. Nothing. I keep at it day and night, tossing and turning. And you? Are you indifferent above it all, leaning back on the cushions of Israel's praises? We know you were there for our parents. They cried for your help and you gave it. They trusted and lived a good life. And here I am, a nothing, an earthworm, something to step on, to squash. Everyone pokes fun at me. They make faces at me. They shake their heads. Let's see how God handles this one. Since God likes him so much, let him help him. And to think you, God, were midwife at my birth, set in me on my mother's bosom. When I left the womb, you cradled me. Since the moment of birth, you've been my God. Then you moved far away. And trouble moved in right next door. I need you to be my neighbor, God. Herds of bulls come at me, the raging bulls stampede, horns lowered, nostrils flaring like a herd of buffalo on the move. I'm a bucket kicked over and spilled. Every joint in my body has been pulled apart. My heart is a blob of melted wax in my gut. I'm dry as a bone. My tongue is black and swollen. And they have laid me out for burial in the dirt. Now packs of wild dogs come at me. Thugs gang up on me. They pin me down hand and foot, lock me in a cage, a bag of bones in a cage, stared out by every passerby. They take my wallet and the shirt off my back, then throw dice for my clothes. You, God, don't put off my rescue. David cried out to God when he felt the crush of evil. You, God, don't put off my rescue. Hurry and help me. Don't let them cut my throat. Don't let these mongrels devour me. If you don't show up soon, I'm done for. I'll be gored by bulls. I'll be meat for lions. Here's the story I'll tell my friends when they come to worship. Shout hallelujah, you who worship God. Give glory, you sons of Jacob. Adore him, you daughters of Israel. He has never let you down, never looked the other way when you were being kicked around. He has never wandered off to do his own thing. He has been right there listening. Here in this great gathering of worship, I have discovered this life of praise, and I'll do what I promised right here in front of those who worship God. Down and outers sit at God's table and eat their fill. Everyone on the hunt for God is here praising him. Live it up from head to toe and don't ever quit. From the four corners of the earth, people are coming to their senses and are running back to God. Long lost families are falling on their faces before him. God has taken charge. From now on, he has the last word. All the power mongers are before him worshiping. All the poor and powerless too are worshiping along with those who never got it together worshiping. Our children and their children will get in on this. As the word is passed along from parent to child, babies not yet conceived will hear the good news that God does what he says. David cried out to God when he felt the crush of evil. He cried out and he cried out and he cried out. As you and I come to read of Calvary, we read these words in Matthew 27 and Mark 15, words spoken at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on what we now call Good Friday. Words that are the first words of Psalm 22, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" We find that Jesus, when he felt the crush of evil, when Jesus felt the most pressing crush of evil any person had ever experienced, he went back to Psalm 22 to find words for his emotions and words for his soul and words for his faith. By quoting the first line of Psalm 22, Jesus was identifying himself with David's trouble, but he was also saying, "I am this psalm fulfilled." And by quoting that first verse, he was causing every Jew at the foot of his cross who had memorized the psalm to think of the whole psalm. Spurgeon, who was no stranger to his own feelings of the crush of evil, wrote this: "For our prayers to appear to be unheard is no new trial. Jesus felt it before us. And it is observable that he still held fast his believing hold on God and cried out still, 'My God, my God.'" The same one who taught us men ought always to pray and not to faint practiced what he preached at the cross. They around the cross spewed forth a peculiar venom. You know the scene. They wagged their heads and they said, "If he trusted in God, let him come down now from the cross." This Jesus who at his baptism had a voice call out from the heavens, "This is my beloved Son." This Jesus who at the Mount of Transfiguration was identified as my beloved Son. We read at the end of the psalm that there would be this gathering of people to praise the deliverance of the King. Now, you and I know that David was wildly successful, but we have to admit that David was really only a regional ruler. He was not the emperor of an empire. No, Israel geographically was what we would call flyover country. It was simply a battleground between the major world powers of the day, Egypt to its south and west, the Assyrians, Babylonians, Persians to the northeast. And so we find that ultimately this psalm, Psalm 22, finds its fulfillment in King Jesus, who did wear a crown, but it was a crown of thorns. This King Jesus, who did recite these words and who did promise to sing God's praises in the midst of us as believers. And the end of the psalm says, "He has done it." What has God done? God has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. What has God done? He has not hidden his face from the afflicted, but God has heard when he cried out to him. And so Jesus cries out at the ninth hour, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." But within that ninth hour, Jesus also cries out, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Because he knew the Father heard his cry of affliction. God the Father hears the prayer of God the Son, and atonement is complete. And the world can, and the world must rejoice. Hear now the inspired word of God is translated into English. Psalm 22. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus said, "Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groanings?" See Calvary as Jesus thinks, prays, trusts. "Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him now. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from my mother's womb. You made me trust you at my mother's bosom. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encircle me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. And I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within my chest. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encircle me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Jesus cried out to God when he felt the crush of evil. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand of awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. I don't know what you come with this evening. I do know we all come with a need to be delivered from the crush of evil. Some of you come here tonight and you are in danger of punishment for your evil, so you can cry out to God for deliverance. Some of you come as believers. You've already asked for deliverance from the punishment of evil, but you come, you feel the crush of evil. You feel the evil people have done to you. Betrayal or worse. Some of you feel the crush of evil tonight because of how you've done evil to others. Some of you feel the crush of evil tonight because it is inescapable. And you keep repeating the same thing again and again. As David did, as Jesus did, so you can do. Cry out to God when you feel the crush of evil. It has been the experience of believers for centuries to cry out to God. John Fawcett wrote these words in the 1700s to believers, afflicted saints, he called them. Your faith is weak, your foes are strong, and if the conflict should be long, the Lord will make the tempter flee, that as your days, your strength shall be. pastor's wife took up the same tune and wrote these words, but 3 years ago. So sing with joy, afflicted one. The battle's fierce, but the victory's won. God shall supply all that you need, yes, as your days, your strength shall be. Jesus on that cross cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Quoting Psalm 22. And echoing the last verse that God has done it, Jesus ended his time on the cross saying, it is finished.